Welcoming all of you to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Srila Purushottam Prabhuji. Prabhuji is going to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 22nd chapter, 57 verse. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavach Pranam, all goes to Srila Prabhupada, all goes to Guru Maharaj. Please accept my humble obeisances. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on the topic. I'll hand out the call to you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. I express my gratitude and my Dandavat Pranam to all the devotees for giving me opportunity to share my realization. So we will start with a short kirtan before we go to the specific verse from Srimad Bhagavatam as you have suggested. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jayo Gopi Jana Vallava Sri Varadari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallava Sri Varadari. Jasoda Nandana Brajadana Ranjana. Jasodanandana Brajajana Ranjana. Ring my mobile. Jasodanandana Brajajana Ranjana. Jamuna Tera Vanachari. Jamuna Tera Vanachari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Double. Prabhupada, 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 Srila Prabhupada.
Jayam Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Stotra Sartasa Shirmat. His Divine Grace Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki.
Yes.
Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki.
Yes.
Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki.
Yes.
Gaur Pramanande Hari Hari. All glorious to assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glorious to assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories, all glories. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vam nam om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 22, Prithu Maharaj's meeting with the Kumaras, Text 57. Durdharsa steja sevagnir Mahendra iva durjayaha Titikshaya dharitriva Dyaur Iva Vista Donrunam Dvair Iva Vista Donrunam Durdharsasteja Sevagnir Mahendra Iva Durjayaha Titikshaya Dharitriva Vairiva Vistado Nunam Durdharsaha Unconquerable Tejasa by prowess, Iva like Agnehe fire, Mahaindraha the king of heaven, Iva liken Durjayaha insuperable. Titikshaya by tolerance Dharitri the earth Iva like Devo the heavenly planets Iva like Avistadaha fulfilling desires Nrunam of human society. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki?
Yes.
Maharaja Prithu was so strong and powerful that no one could disobey his orders any more than one could conquer fire itself. He was so strong. He was compared to Indra, the king of heaven, whose power is insuperable. On the other hand, Maharaja Prithu was also as tolerant as the earth, and in fulfilling various desires of human society, he was like heaven itself. purport. It is the duty of a king to give protection to the citizens and to fulfill their desires. At the same time, the citizens must obey the laws of the state. Maharaja Prithu maintained all the standards of good government, and he was so invincible that no one could disobey his orders any more than a person could stop heat and light emanating from a fire. He was so strong and powerful that he was compared to the king of heaven, Indra. In this age, modern scientists have been experimenting with nuclear weapons, and the former age, they used to release Brahmastra. But all these Brahmastras and nuclear weapons are insignificant compared to thunderbolt of king of heaven. When Indra releases a thunderbolt, even the biggest hills and mountains crack. On the other hand, Maharaja Prithu was as tolerant as the earth itself, and he fulfilled all the desires of citizens just like torrents of rain from the sky. Without rainfall, it is not possible to fulfill one's various desires on this planet. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 3.14, Parjanyad Arna Sambhavaha, food grains are produced only because rain falls from the sky. And without grains, no one on earth can be satisfied. Consequently, an unlimited distribution of mercies compared to the water falling from the clouds. Maharaja Prithu distributed his mercy incessantly, much like rainfall. In other words, Maharaja Prithu was softer than a rose flower and harder than a thunderbolt. In this way, he ruled over his kingdom. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Desatarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Srivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakhyurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Hare Krishna, I offer my humble obeisances to all the devotees who are awake in early morning to hear from Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, they are wonderful sadhus. Simple association of these literatures keep us in our natural position. So I am very fortunate that you gave me an opportunity to hear this sadhu, and in that process we all together here. This is a very wonderful chapter. In fact, each chapter of Bhagavatam is very wonderful. This chapter is Prithu Maharaj meeting with Kumaraj. Normally, personalities like Narada, Kumaraj, Brahma, Shiva, all these great personalities, we will not have their darshan readily. If we are very fortunate we meet such personalities. Maharaj Prithu is a great personality. He is not a great personality. In fact, he is Satyavesa Avatara. What is an Avatara? Avatara means they represent Krishna, partially or wholly. When anyone represents Krishna, then it becomes non-different from Krishna. So Prithu Maharaj, in fact, is representing Krishna, and he is executing the will of Krishna. This is called Satyavesa Avatara. Just like our own great, His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, is a Satyavesa Avatara. He implemented the desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to take the Hare Krishna Mahamantra to every nook and corner of the society, of the world at large. Normally, all pure devotees are simultaneously one and different from Krishna. They are one because they do not have any other desire except to fulfill the desire of Krishna. Just like Arjuna, he fulfilled the desire of Krishna and fought in the battle of Kurukshetra. In doing so, he became non-different from Krishna. Krishna can do everything. Like as Vyasadeva, he wrote or compiled all Vedic literature. Krishna can personally do all these things. But when somebody surrenders himself completely to Krishna and willingly, voluntarily becomes his instrument, Krishna specifically empowers such personalities. And he feels very happy when he does things through his pure devotees. In doing so, he doesn't take any credit. He gives all the credit to his devotees. So this is one of the very wonderful transcendental quality of Krishna. Just like Mahaprabhu empowered all devotees, he empowered Haridas Thakur in chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra and in the glories of the holy name. Instead of he speaking on the glories of the holy name, he heard from Haridas Thakur the glories of the holy name. And from the perspective of the holy name, from the perspective of the Haridas Thakur, he recognizes that it is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who is making Haridas Thakur to speak. So this is the wonderful exchange between devotee and Krishna. When devotee, a surrendered devotee, takes pleasure in becoming Krishna's mere instrument, Krishna happily empowers such a living entity to perform activities that is otherwise unthinkable by a mortal person. So whether it is Arjuna or Vyasadev or Narada, Kumara, or Prithu Maharaj, Dhruva, Prahlada, all these personalities, they represent Krishna's potency. In a sense, they are non-different from Krishna. In fact, Maharaj Prithu asked question to Kumara, what is the goal of human life? And this is a question that is being asked throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, in Bhagavad Gita, as well in Chaitanya Charitamrita. What is the goal of life, human life? Normally, we are all interested in dharma, artha, kama. We perform our occupational duty. Dharma means occupational duty. Some of us, we are Brahminical. Some of us, we are Kshatriya by nature. Some of us, we are by nature businessman, by nature service provider. So based on this occupational duty, when we follow the path of dharma, we have certain economic facility or economic development. We become economically prosperous. And once we are economically prosperous, that pushes us to perform sense gratification, sense enjoyment. But then there is fourth one in Vedic literature, that is called moksha. Human form of life is meant to achieve liberation. Liberation from what? Liberation from the cycle of birth, death, old age and disease. But this is not very easy to digest. We see in front of us every day, people are dying, people are taking birth. Birth and death, both are illusion. But it never occurs to us that one day I will die and I will again take birth. If I have that consciousness that I am going to take birth again, then what kind of birth will I have? I will ask that question. We don't ask such question. Rather, being intoxicated with societal position, power and prosperity, we do things such that our senses are gratified. To gratify our senses means we enter into the mode of ignorance. Sense gratification, visaya, visama, visa, satata khainu. This is what Narottam Das Thakur sings. Visaya, visama, visa, satata khainu. So, this sense gratification is like deadly poison. And we are constantly drinking. Why this is deadly poison? Because when we indulge in sense gratification, we cannot contemplate on the nature of truth. We cannot contemplate on the nature of truth. To contemplate on the nature of truth, we need to be austere. And that austerity empowers us to contemplate on the nature of truth. Like, what is the goal of human life? Means, this is synonym of what is truth. Today, I was reading a chapter from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. I was coming from Ranchi to Kanpur, and in this chapter, There is a nice description. There are many wonderful descriptions. I will just take one description. There is a personality, because when this is the chapter where Mahaprabhu, after South India trip, he is returning. And he is returning to Jagannath Puri. So when he returned to Jagannath Puri, everybody became very happy. In particularly Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, all the Vaishnavas in Nilachal, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas from Bengal, and everybody started coming to Jagannath Puri. Many wonderful devotees, they lived in Nilachal because Mahaprabhu was residing there, like Chota Haridas, Bada Haridas, Jagadananda Pandit, Gadadhara Pandit, Paramananda Puri, these five brothers, the sons of Bhavananda Rai, like Rai Ramananda, Vaninath Rai, Gopinath Patnaik, and so forth. Swarup Damodar, he also joined. Govinda, who is actually god brother of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he also came and became servant, became personal servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So once Swarup Damodar, he informed Mahaprabhu that Brahmananda Bharati has come. So Mahaprabhu said, okay, let's go and meet him. When Mahaprabhu came, he saw Brahmananda Bharati is wearing a deer skin. So knowingly, Mahaprabhu said, where is Brahmananda Bharati? I'm seeing a person wearing deer skin, but I don't see someone, Brahmananda Bharati, that I know. Immediately, Brahmananda Bharati recognized that he has made a mistake by wearing the deer skin. And once Mahaprabhu recognized that he has accepted his fault, he ordered for a sannyasa vastra for Brahmananda Bharati. And then Brahmananda Bharati glorifies Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says that in this Nilachal Dham, there are two Brahman. One is fixed Brahman, one is moving Brahman. One is having a golden hue, the one who is moving, and the other one is blackish. So basically he is telling, so there is Lord Jagannath, he is Parabrahman, his bodily color is black. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, the Jagannath himself, he is other Parabrahman, but he is moving. He is moving among us, he is dancing with us, he is chanting with us, he is conversing with us. And during this discussion, he made a very important point. He said that I was an impersonalist. And that is why I was wearing deer skin, because I thought I have almost become Brahman. That is, I have become the God himself. And by the special mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I recognize that I am insignificant entity and I am a mere instrument of the Lord. So Mahaprabhu is my master and I am his servant. This wonderful, and not only that, as Brahmananda Bharati looked like he has thousands of mouths in glorifying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Krishna himself, and Mahaprabhu would close his ears and would say, Vishnu, Vishnu, Krishna, Krishna. And Brahmananda Bharati would invite Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to mediate. And Sarvam Bhattacharya present, not surprisingly, he would take the side of Brahmananda Bharati and would say whatever he is saying is actually correct. But the point here is, truth cannot be ascertained unless we are specially endowed by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. Truth is not something that can be my pet property. Everybody is searching for truth? No. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Manushyanam sahasreshu kashit yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kashin mam beti tatvata. So among thousands, hardly one will try to endeavor to know the truth. Knowing truth means seeking perfection. So, how do we know truth? So that requires special mercy of Guru and Krishna. Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Just like Mahaprabhu said, Brahmanda Bhramite Kono Bhagyavan Jiva Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bija. So this special mercy that we talk about, this grace, divine grace of Guru and Krishna, without that grace, we can never understand what is truth. In fact, for Kumaras, they are telling, this specific grace of Guru and Krishna, if we are capable of attaining, that very grace can burn all the impurities that is covering us, that has kept us within ignorance from time immemorial. In fact, he gives, four Kumaras are giving an analogy to Prithu Maharaj, that a person who is impoverished, not very rich or wealthy, and maybe attached to family life, but if a sadhu, Vaishnava, enters his place, then he can attain truth. He can be delivered. Whereas, a person who is very wealthy, very capable, powerful, but a sadhu doesn't come to his house, so that person is like a dead tree inhabited by thousands of poisonous snakes. That is why it is very important we remain in association with the devotees. We remain in association with sadhus like all Vedic literatures. In their association, we will have that grace of Guru and Krishna. All these books, the Bhaktivedanta purports, they are so powerful, they can burn all impurities within our heart, provided we attentively associate and hear these messages daily, continuously. So, in fact, the conversation between Prithu Maharaj and Kumara is same as conversation between Suta Goswami and 88,000 sages in Naimisharanya. The same conversation between it is same as the conversation between Sukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit. So these conversations are not about how to improvise our worldly life. These conversations are about how do we make spiritual advancement. In fact, in this discussion between Prithu Maharaj and Kumaras, Kumaras are saying to Prithu Maharaj that what is the use of a kingdom if the human or the human population are not endeavoring for perfection? That is, if we do not endeavor to perfect, that means we are not interested in worldly life, we are interested in spiritual life, then such civilizations are like dead trees inhabited by poisonous snakes. So truth must be dearer to all those who recognize the value of human life. In fact, this point we have always told, that how human life is very rare, and we have talked about the total living entities are always infinite. Infinite living entities, even if they are liberated, what is left is infinite. The very place where you are sitting or where you are inhabiting, there will be living entities. Their number would be more than the total population of your city. So human population, if you look at, you know, now, for example, the world population may be 7 billion. The 7 billion, when you compare with infinity, is like zero. It's nothing. So that is how rare the human form of life. Everybody doesn't get an opportunity to receive the dress of a human. If human dress is so rare, that should make us think that why is this human life? Why am I given this special dress? Recently, I was asking some of the students, young students at IIT Kanpur, what is the difference between an ant and a human? So they, during the discussion, we were telling, actually there is no difference between a human and an ant, because ant is made up of the same material element, earth, water, air, fire, ether, so also human. No difference actually. If we analyze physically, there is no difference between an ant and a human. Same elements constitute an ant, same material elements also constitute a human. If I look at spiritually, there is also no difference. Why? Because the spiritual particle, the divine spark that animates an ant, the same divine spark also animates human being. So in that way also there is no difference. And this is point also is there in Bhagavad Gita. Vidya vinaya samparne brahmani gavi hastini suni chaiva sopakecha pandita samadarsina. So what is the difference between an ant and a human? The difference is that a human can understand or can ask the question, what is truth? An ant cannot do that. So our objective is to understand truth. Truth must be very dearer to our life. in human form of life, if we do not become austere, we do not purify our four activities, eating, mating, sleeping and defending. Eating, mating, sleeping and defending. These four activities we are all doing. It is common to all animals as well as human. But in human form of life, we must purify our eating by taking Krishna prasadam, mating, having a Krishna conscious family, sleeping only to give proper rest to the body so that again I can engage in Krishna's service, and defending. I should defend myself by serving the Vaishnavas, by becoming servant of Krishna. So this purification is necessary before I can understand what is truth. In Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, Suta Goswami is saying, Vadanti tat tattva vidas, tattvam yad jnanam advayam, brahmeti paramatmeti, bhagavan iti sabdyate. This is very important, because many times spiritual practices may take the shape of rituals if we are not very careful about the truth. We are performing rituals to ascertain the truth. Otherwise, rituals will become mere rituals. They will not become devotional service. Tattva is very important, truth. So here it is saying, tattva means truth. Vadanti tat tattva vidas. Tattva vidas means knower of truth. And what they are saying? Vadanti tat tattva vidas, tattvam yat jnanam advayam. So this truth or the absolute knowledge is advaya, non-dual. And this is very important. This non-duality is very important because absolute truth is always non-dual. Why it is non-dual? In fact, in that purport to that verse, Prabhupada starts with the statement, Krishna is both subject and object. Absolute truth is both object and subject. What is meaning of that? For example, when I say I, that I-ness refers to subject. I am the subject, right? And what is object? Object is my experience. Okay? So I experience through my senses. When I am conditioned, I experience through my mundane senses, because my senses are not purified. My senses are polluted. And because of that, what I experience is extraneous to me, it is not me. So when I experience, I don't experience myself, I experience the object of senses. So there is duality. I is different and the object of senses are different. But that actually is not correct. If you ask normal human being, for him, he and food are not different. Without food, he will die. Right? A normal person who lives like an animal, for him, the subject and object are not different in the sense his very subjectivity is the lies in the framework of objectivity, that is the sense objects. Right? My eyes want something, I want to see. I want to taste something, I want that. So me, I and my object are non-different. In that sense, there is non-duality. But duality comes when I start practicing Krishna consciousness. I am told that these objects are not me. I am beyond this object. I am a conscious being. Okay. So that conscious being is being spoken in Bhagavad Gita in so many ways, in second chapter of Bhagavad Gita and all through the Bhagavad Gita. Like in 15th chapter also Krishna says, Mameivangsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. So we are Krishna's part and parcel. Like Prabhupada explained to us, we are infinitesimal. So suppose I perform very severe austerity, like Kumaras. They are always, you know, they are living for trillions of years. But they are like 5 year old. They are always Kumaras. They are always Kumaras. Jaya Sri Sri Lakshmi Narasimhadev Bhagavan ki, Sri La Giriraj Krishna ki. So, when we would perform severe austerity, aruhya kuchtrena parampadam tato. So when we perform the severe austerity and we abstain from any sense gratification, then we can withdraw ourselves to our own self. And what is that status? That status is that I am a very tiny little spark. It's divinity. I will have a sense of eternity, but I am so tiny, I have no capability. I have zero capability in the sense I am not owner of anything. I am tiny, but I cannot lord over the material nature. Material nature is not under my control. They are not me. They are not mine. I have zero potency actually. So that is Brahmeti. I am Brahman, but that Brahman state is so tiny, I find myself as simply a particle in the rays of Krishna's effulgence. I'm so tiny. So that's Brahman. So when I perform severe austerity, I can know myself within myself and I can recognize that I'm very tiny. And this was the situation of Bilomangala Thakur. This was the situation of Kumaras, this was a situation of Brahmananda Bharati. By performing severe austerities, they could recognize they are the Brahman. And then next stage is Paramatma. What is this Paramatma state? A jiva not only performs severe austerities, he meditates on the Paramatma, the way Brahman realization happens by Jnana Yoga. And Krishna says, Bahunam Janmanam Ante Jnanavan Mam Prapadyante. A Gyan Yogi, after many, many births, finally surrenders to Krishna. Whereas a Dhyana Yogi, he completely separates himself. He doesn't act on his body, constantly meditates on the Absolute Truth, Paramatma. And suddenly, at some point of time, he becomes aware of past, present and future. This is there also in fourth canto, this particular canto, I think 29th chapter, and 29th chapter, I think 69th verse. Yeah, 69th verse, I think. Yes, this is the 69th verse, 4th canto, 29th chapter, 69. Krishna consciousness means constantly associating with Supreme Personality of Godhead. In such a mental state, the devotee can observe the cosmic manifestation exactly as the Supreme Personality of Godhead does. Of course, this talks about devotee. So here also, a Dhyana Yogi is also a devotee. So in Paramatma realization, a devotee can see past, present and future. So what is this Paramatma realization? Because all my knowledge that I have, I get through my senses. For a Dhyana Yogi, he has made all his senses kaput. He is not situated in his senses. But still, he has the information. And the information that will not be even obtainable by mundane senses. And then he recognizes that because he is able to get all this information, past, present and future, he is able to see the cosmic manifestation as it is, he can easily conceptualize the all-pervading nature of Absolute Truth. Who is providing him all this information? So this is Paramatma realization. But in particularly Kali Yuga, if we practice Jnana Yoga or Dhyana Yoga, Kali Purusha is so powerful, he makes such a devotee, whether he is a Jnana Yogi or a Dhyana Yogi, both are devotees, he makes themselves to think that they are God. So, aruve kusrena parampadam tato patanti adho anadruta jismat angraye. So, they fall down because we have not got the taste of the lotus feet of Krishna. Why we have not got the lotus feet of taste of Krishna? Because we have not got the special mercy of Guru and Krishna. Only when we associate with a Vaishnava, pure devotee of Krishna, when we associate with Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, through a pure devotee, then we go to the third level of truth and the ultimate form of truth, that is Bhagavan. And in many lectures, Prabhupada says that devotees are pure monists, whereas impersonalists are pseudo-monists. And he explains. He says, pure devotee has no other desire except to fulfill Krishna's desire. So there is unity in fulfilling Krishna's desire. So whatever Krishna desires, a devotee desires. In fact, I have met many people, they have come to me and asked that, sir, that after all these experiences, now I have come to know that I must not do anything that I want. I must do that which God wants. And this is a devotee. So there is a duality as well as non-duality. What is non-duality? When I sense myself or experience myself within myself, that is non-dual. That is, I am experiencing myself. I am the subject. I am experiencing myself. My knowledge is about myself. So there is no distinction between self, the subject, and knowledge of the self, the object. There is no distinction. Non-dual. So when that happens without Krishna, that is simply Brahman realization. Whereas Krishna is the absolute truth. And that Krishna is such an absolute truth, we may try to describe him unlimitedly. Still, we'll not be tired. We'll feel always fresh describing Krishna because he is so infinite. Even for eternal period, if we start describing about Krishna, what we will cover is only a tiny dust particle-like quantity about him. So he is so infinite. So, as far as Krishna is concerned, from his perspective, he is the absolute truth. And what he knows is about himself. So, as a knower, he is subject. As a known, he himself. He is so infinite. So, Advaitam, at the level of absolute truth, is non-dual. That's why in Brahma Samhita, Advaitam, Achyutam, Anadi, Anantarupam. So, he is Advaitam. He is non-dual. Krishna knows himself. But knowledge about Krishna and knowledge about Jiva, like that is a vast ocean and this is like a drop of an ocean. But when Jiva surrendered to Krishna, we get this beautiful manifestation of the Absolute Truth, where Jivas are not separate from Krishna, but they represent Krishna's different opulences, Vibhuti. So if you look at all the Parikaras of Krishna, they are non-different of Krishna. Whether it is Radharani, internal or Radhini potency of Krishna, non-different from Krishna. For that matter, Lalita, Vishakha, Ashtasakhi, all the pure devotees, Nanda Baba, Yashodamaya, they are all Krishna in the sense they represent a specific mood of Krishna. Krishna, being absolute, he has parental mood within. And that mood manifests in the form of Yashodamaya and Nanda Baba. Right? Krishna, as an absolute truth, he has a mood of fraternity. And that fraternity mood manifests as Sudama, Subala, Madhumangala, like that. So, eko bahunam, yo vidadhati kaman. So, Krishna, he is alone. He is one. He is one absolute. But he becomes many. That is, his own different pleasure potencies, knowledge potencies, all these potencies, they manifest in different form. Right? So in that sense, all of them, they are known different from Krishna. But we jivas, conditioned souls, we are separated part and parcel of Krishna, external potency of Krishna. Like Yashoda Maya, Lalita, Visakha, Asta Sakhi, Purnamasi, they will never be covered by Maya because they are always in internal potency of Krishna. But we, the Jivas, we can be covered by both Maya potency of Krishna as well as internal potency of Krishna. That's why we are in the separate category. We are called Tatastha. Tatastha. Tatastha means we can be covered by Maya, we can be covered by internal potency. Okay? So, Tattva is very important, where we are. So when we become very fortunate to receive the grace of Guru and Krishna, when we become very fortunate, for example, by becoming a part of this wonderful society, International Society of Krishna Consciousness, we are very fortunate. When I started reading Prabhupada Lilamrita way back in 1993, and for me, my heroes are like Tamal Krishna Maharaj. Heroes are like, you know, Mukunda Goswami or Shamasundara Adhikari and Malati Mataji, Jamuna Mataji, you know, all these wonderful personalities. Or so they all associated with a pure devotee of Krishna. They served Krishna's pure devotee. In fact, many of them, when they glorified Prabhupada, they said Prabhupada was always glowing. They felt Prabhupada is a glowing personality. He's glowing with the devotion of Krishna. Right? And we are also very fortunate to receive the shelter of all those who served Prabhupada.
So, one by one they have come here, then here it is. Now, Sir Damodar and...
Yeah, I was going to say, it was very interesting to learn that Sir Damodar had been an impersonalist before.
Yeah, yeah. He was not impersonalist, but he was initiated by an impersonalist. He was initiated by impersonalist.
Mm-hmm. So
you see, next day, please hear this. Next day, Mukunda Datta informed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Brahmananda Bharati has come to see you. Mukunda Datta then asked, Lord, shall I bring him here? After saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotee came into the presence of Brahmananda Bharati. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees approached him, they saw that he was covered with a deer skin. Seeing this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very unhappy. Seeing Brahmananda Bharati wearing the deer skin, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pretended not to see him. Instead, he asked Mukunda Datta, where is Brahmananda Bharati, my spiritual master? You see, how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so humble. Mukunda Datta replied, here is Brahmananda Bharati in your presence. Then Mahaprabhu is saying, oh, you must be talking someone else, for this is surely not Brahmananda Bharati. You simply have no knowledge. Why should Brahmananda Bharati wear a deer skin? When Brahmananda Bharati heard this, he thought, my deer skin is not approved by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thus admitting his mistake, Brahmananda Bharati thought, he spoke well. I put on this deer skin only for prestige. I cannot cross over the ocean of Nisayan simply by wearing a deer skin. From today on, I shall not wear this deer skin. So you see, and there's a lot. please read it after this whole discussion. You will find it is very interesting.
Okay, so the deer skin seems to be... Oh my goodness, it's echo.
Yeah, it is a impersonal schools those days the sannyasis used to wear.
Yeah, but in those verses it seemed like, you know, Brahmananda Bharati was seeing his deerskin more as a sign of false pride rather than.
But later he would say. Later in their discussion, you please read, and he would say that I was an impersonalist.
Okay.
And So okay, the point is that this is same thing in Shastra. You see everywhere it is said, a Brahmavadi, a Paramatmavadi, all of them, they become a Bhagavanvadi after coming in association with a pure devotee.
Yeah.
This is exactly with all of them. Yes.
Okay, Prabhu, I have a question about the word duality, because, you know, it seems like in different contexts, it has little different meanings. So you mentioned this word a couple of times in your talk, and so I need to ask about your use of this word duality. So at one point you said that when you experience sense objects instead of yourself, that is duality. So even a pure devotee, you know, he can experience sense objects. You know, if you bite into an apple, or if you're feeling a smooth surface, or, you know, you're seeing an image, you know, you're experiencing sense objects. So why we are calling this duality?
Very good question. You say, if we are not devotee, when I look at and sense object, you know, there is no duality there. But when I'm a devotee and I see an apple, I see this apple is connected to Krishna. So this is what is Srishti and Srashta. We do not have ability to see the Srishti. Why? Because when we see the Srishti,
I'm not getting this word.
Srishti means creation. Srishti means creation. And Srashta means creator.
Okay.
So when we see the Srishti, that creation, and when I take the creation for myself, that's illusion. And when seeing the Srishti or creation, I see the creator, then there is Advaita. I see everything in relation to Krishna. Non-duality. So a pure devotee, that's what Prabhupada says, a pure devotee sees everything in relation to Krishna. So he sees anything. Anything he sees only Krishna. Stavara jangama dekhe, nadakhe tara murti, sarvatra sphure tara ishtadeva murti. So he sees everywhere. Stavara jangama. He sees stone, he sees hills, jangama, he sees animate, inanimate, everything. But he doesn't see inanimate or animate objects. He sees only Krishna. Sarvatra parasphure ishtadeva murti. He sees only Krishna everywhere. So this is devotee.
Okay, so is duality, if you see some things are for my enjoyment and some things are for Krishna or something like that.
Yeah, correct.
Okay, that was nice. Okay, another way in which you used duality was when you were talking about
transcendental. There is a transcendental duality, Mataji. Transcendental duality is between jivas are different from Krishna. In fact, that is the most difficult tattva to explain. The transcendental duality, the jiva and Krishna are two different objects. In fact, that is the most difficult philosophy, and that was most difficult philosophy that was preached by Madhvacharya. If you look at the evolution of bhakti that finally came through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, first the non-dual philosophy or Advaita philosophy was propounded by Adi Shankaracharya, and then Vishishta Advaita by Ramanujacharya. And that was easy to preach, Vishishta Advaita. In fact, many Advaitas, they don't see difference between Vishishta Advaita and Advaita. And after Vishishta Advaita, Dvaita was preached by Madhvacharya, that the mm-hmm. transcendental duality between Jiva and Krishna. Krishna is different mm-hmm. from Jiva. And that was most difficult to teach. And mm-hmm. that was the big task carried out by Madhvacharya.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then you also use this word duality in reference to the words knower and knowledge, I think.
Knower and knowledge. Yes. Knower and knowledge. Yes. Because when knower and knowledge becomes one, that is non-dual. Why scientists are talking that we have a chemical origin of life? Because when you do not invoke the concept of the soul, then the sense objects and the self, they are non-different. So in that sense, in fact, the so-called Advaitas or monists, they appreciate very much the scientific thing, because here known and knower, both are same.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, because we are only talking about the matter, not the spirit.
Okay, so when you said that the knower, that duality means, I'm not sure, duality in this context, and when you say that knower is different from the knowledge, right?
Yeah. When knower is different from knowledge, then there is duality. Yes. Yes.
Okay, but is
for a scientist, for example, if you look at one of the conversation of Einstein, for him, the knower and known are non-different. He's a convinced physicist, and for him, knower and known are non-different. So he was non-dual, but he was non-dual. That non-duality is physical non-duality. That is atheism.
Okay, but for a pure devotee, right? Just do they see the knower as different from knowledge or not?
Very good question. For a devotee, he is the knower, and knowledge is Krishna. So that's why for a devotee, Krishna is life.
Krishna is
life.
What?
Because without life.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Life.
Yes.
So without Krishna, he has nothing. You know, he's dead.
Uh-huh.
So because if I look at myself, what is knowledge about me? Nothing. There is no knowledge there. I am just tiny spiritual spark. There is no knowledge. So that's why he says Brahmananda is very tiny. So when I get the knowledge of Krishna, then there is duality. That is, I see myself as a servant of Krishna and I serve Krishna. So the transcendental duality is very wonderful situation where a jiva surrenders to Krishna so much so, and serves to Krishna so much so, he, at some point of time, in his mature devotional state, he feels also non-different from Krishna, means equal to Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
That's why gopis, they felt very happy to be dancing with Krishna, hand to hand, shoulder to shoulder, step to step, feeling equal to Krishna.
So it's like it's kind of like there's simultaneously a transcendental duality and non-duality.
Non-duality, exactly. Achintya Veda Veda Tattva.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, thank you so much. Actually, there was just one last small thing. Remember in the early part of your talk, you were saying how you're talking about eating, mating, defending.
Then,
so at that point you said that devotees, they defend themselves by, how did you say, because I didn't understand.
I said defend themselves by serving Krishna, by serving devotees.
Yeah, how is that defense?
Because we recognize that our protector is only Krishna.
Protector.
You seek protector. What is defending? Defending means you seek a protector.
Okay.
You seek a protector. You seek a protector in the form of a husband, in the form of a bungalow, in the form of a wealth.
Mm-hmm.
But a devotee seeks protector in the form of Krishna and devotional service. More than Krishna, devotional service.
Yeah. A devotee will seek protection. They will only see Krishna as their protection. But can you expand on how we see devotional service as our protector?
Okay, because through devotional service, we try to capture Krishna within our heart. It's the devotional service that brings us Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
So, premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santa sadaiva hudeyesu vilokayanti yam shyama sundara achintya guna shurupam. So it is by devotional service only we bring Krishna and put him in our heart.
Okay, very beautiful. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Mataji.
Thank you for the excellent class, Prabhu, and thanks for the very relevant examples as well. The class was really good. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandas Pranam, all goes to Srila Prabhupada and Maharaj. Very, very beautiful class, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. You have some question?
No, Prabhuji, but your class was really excellent.
Okay. Any other question? should we end now?
If nobody have any question, can we end the call here?
I have one question. Ratnesh here.
Yeah, please. Please go ahead.
When you say we seek protection only in Krishna, so sometimes, like in Bhagavad Gita itself, Krishna is asking Arjuna to fight. For example, here is the war. Now, is that act of fighting, can it be considered as seeking protection? Or the way I see, the way we understand, Krishna says that he already decided what is the fate of the war.
Mm.
And still he is pushing Arjuna to act.
Mm.
Can we say that whatever is going on in the world is already decided and our only job is to basically be in the harmony of the desire of Krishna rather than thinking that we can change things by fighting, for example?
Yeah, you see, this answer I have already given you. Arjuna's fighting was devotional service for him. By fighting, he is pleasing Krishna. So by pleasing Krishna, he is capturing Krishna within his heart. So if Arjuna would have fled battlefield, you think what would have happened? It is unthinkable. He would have never done it. But what would have happened? So he would have lost protection of Krishna. Yes, everything. we have been telling this, that we are not the actor, neither you nor I. There are two actors. One actor is Krishna, the other actor is Maya. So when we do not surrender to Krishna, we do not perform devotional service, then actor is Maya. So where is our protection? Our so-called defense is only a so-called defense. It is not real protection. There is no protection under Maya. So only when we perform... In this case, Arjuna, by fighting, he performed devotional service. Like Prabhupada said, you know, when these temples were being built, and there was always this sound of chisels and mortars, all the sound, Prabhupada says, these are all kirtan. There's a building, all those temples, those days Prabhupada built the beautiful Juhu temple, beautiful Mayapur temple, Vrindavan temple. So all those temples, for Prabhupada, when it was built, these are all kirtan. These are all devotional service. This is not Maya. Okay? One person may say, oh, why should I waste my time building the temple? I have seen, because this our Vrindavan temple, I have been visiting since 1993. And there was a time in this December when I used to go to Vrindavan. In the Mangalarati, there will be hardly 5 to 10 devotees. 93, 94, 95. Now you go to the same temple, Mangalarati, even in the winter, severest winter, you won't find place to put your step. So crowded now. Okay? So, for pure devotees, whatever they do is a devotional service. We cannot say like that. So Arjuna's fight should not be brought into our context thinking that whatever we are doing is a devotional service. At best we can say, at least whatever we are doing things according to our nature, occupational duty, dharma. So that dharma we can say, at best. To be able to say that we are doing pure devotional service, that will be too much. So that only a pure devotee can say. We can only follow the footsteps of pure devotee. Is that clear, Ratnesh?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. So I think that we should stop here. I thank all of you for engaging me in this wonderful service of speaking on Bhagavatam. I personally feel very grateful getting such opportunities. So thank you very much. Thank you, Mataji, giving me. This is the last time I spoke and this time. So please pray for me so that I would release chanting the pure name of Krishna one day. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Go ahead, Mataji.
Yeah, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Mataji, you can close the call.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for a very enlightening class today. We are very grateful and fortunate, Prabhu. We look forward for your association again in future. Please give us your association regularly, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhu. If nobody has
I have a request. I have a request to all yes, the people Prabhu. Who are hearing, that we are launching a website called Learn Gita, Live Gita on 1st of January. These are the lessons that are tailor-made for particularly young people, giving them an introduction to Bhagavad Gita so that they understand the gist of Bhagavad Gita in 12 lessons. So we are launching, and I would request that all of you watch this space. This we have not launched. We will launch from 1st of January. 1st of January 2020. Thank you.
Sure, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhu. Vancha kalpatarupyasya kripa
sindhu. Kripa sindhu eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo.
Vaishnava.